Hello and welcome to the October edition of Healthcare Update. My name is Anthony Weiss and I'm from the Healthcare Division of ASQ. And today I'm very pleased to have with me Dr. Michael Nelson. Mike is a pediatrician by training. He trained as a pediatrician at Fitzsimmons Army Medical Center and was board certified in pediatrics in 1974. And after spending 7 years in the Army, Mike was a solo practitioner in Albuquerque, New Mexico, starting in 1976. More recently, Mike has shifted his attention to quality improvement, and he is the owner of Bluecorn Professional Services, an LLC that is associated with consulting in healthcare. And he serves as a physician coach for the Studer Group, which, as many of you may know, was a National Malcolm Baldrige Award winner in 2010 for their tremendous work in improving healthcare quality throughout the country. Mike, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Tony, and looking forward. It's great to have an opportunity to talk about quality improvement and lean systems thinking since I'm so passionate about it.
Great. Well, maybe to start out with, if you could just tell us a little bit about your own journey toward quality improvement, you know, what led you to an interest in the concept of healthcare quality coming from a background in pediatrics?
Well, I've always had some interest, but like many things, there came a serendipitous moment where I had the opportunity in the early 1990s to be a last-minute replacement from our organization to go to Brent James' course in Utah that is parceled over 3 months, lasted a month in total content. And I had my fire lit there, had interactions with some tremendous minds, including Brent, and came back and had the opportunity to gradually take what I'd learned and start developing some quality improvement projects, shifting from being a full-time practitioner to picking up more and more time for quality improvement leadership. Mm-hmm. After that, I went through the usual litany of different manifestations of quality improvement, getting frustrated when sometimes you get great gains from a project only to come back 6 months or a year later and have it not have been sustained. And it wasn't until about 4 or 5 years ago that I discovered lean and began to see all the waste in healthcare that we've sort of just become so desensitized to over the years. And that's when I really got the bug about lean, because I think I began to understand why it was so hard to sustain these improvement projects all over time, even though some of them were quite good. And I believe it's because of the waste that just consumes energy. So I became a quality engineer and certified Lean Six Sigma Black Belt through ASQ, and spent the last 4 years while I was employed before I went into consulting work as a physician leader for the lean efforts in a large integrated healthcare system.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear the effect that Dr. James has had on so many of us, and I also am a graduate of his program and similarly had kind of a conversion experience going out to Intermountain. So it's great to hear that that's where this really started for you as well.
It's really worth the investment in time and energy.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, you know, what we're hearing about a lot, you mentioned a lot of waste, and right now we're hearing a lot about the need for cost containment within healthcare. And, you know, once again, provider reimbursement and across-the-board cuts appear to be the proposed solution or the easy solution. I'm interested in your perspective on this issue and whether you see the potential for lean methods to really have an impact in this area.
I think we have clearly entered an era where the revenue stream is going to continue to shrink, and our society has taken the route of value-based types of purchasing. And I tell physicians all the time, we've entered the area where your outcomes equal your income, not wholly, and it's going to build over time. But already, as much as 9% from various initiatives, if hospitals, Medicare, revenue is taking 3 or 4 years, And we aren't going to be able to make these changes. So I guess I wouldn't call it the easy way up, because I think it's going to be very difficult for us. And if we can't change how we're healthier, then we're just not going to do very well. And I think that the success is really about new delivery methods and processes to give care to individuals and populations of patients. And I have no doubt that Lean can do that. I've experienced it, seen it, and am convinced that you can get a lot of the cost out. The problem is, and why you don't see a lot of proof of that in the literature, I believe, is traditional accounting methods have a very hard time attributing financial improvement to a individual project or set of projects. And so there isn't a lot of financial evidence out there about how it works. Typically, after an initiative, whether it's a small project or a broader swing, over time you see increased revenues, decreased costs, but it's very hard to attribute it to the Lean efforts themselves.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that. You may be aware of it, and I'll just mention it here, but the recent article in Harvard Business Review by Michael Porter and Robert Kaplan may be worth some of our listeners to look at, because in that article they do talk about the role of activity-based cost accounting as a potential way to capture a bit more of the value that we're creating. And maybe an important way in which we capture the value of quality improvement. So I don't know if you've had a chance to look at that article, but it's consistent with exactly the type of issue you're talking about.
Yes, and there are some other books out there that talk about the accounting changes that need to happen in order to validate what all of us in this work believe. Mm-hmm. But it's been slow going to get those changes in place.
Exactly. Now, I should mention that you have a book coming out, Sustaining Lean in Healthcare, Developing and Engaging Physician Leadership. And in the book, you talk about physician engagement, and I liked your quote in there saying, the most important thing about a physician engagement plan is to have one. Why do you see physician engagement as being critical to the success of a Lean effort?
Well, if you look at the patient care delivery process, there's basically four immediate stakeholders in that, discounting communities and boards and other entities, but I'm talking about the GIMBA, the place where we provide care. There's patients, physicians, there's staff, and managers that either contribute heavily to the results and or benefit from the results. My experience has been, even more than patients, physicians gain substantially from the changes that occur from these Lean transformations and quality improvement. And by that, I mean a patient may notice a decreased cycle time, the time it takes them to get into an office and an outpatient visit and back out may be shortened dramatically, but they don't necessarily see and experience the quality changes that go along with that. They sort of have to rely on third-party people to report those results. Physicians, on the other hand, very early in the process see their work life get easier, and they don't have to spend as much time in the office. They aren't as tired at the end of the day because they haven't had to fight to get everything done to provide good care to the patients. And the problem traditionally has been, regrettably, that many of these initially successful Lean transformations aren't sustainable over time. And in part, if you look at staff and managers as being vested in wanting to sustain something, these are really tough changes for them, and there's almost like the Earth's gravitational pull to go back to old work-life habits. It's a very uncomfortable place for them to be, and particularly for managers who frequently grew up in systems and have to learn a new management style. Physicians, on the other hand, in my experience, get it, and they get it quickly when they see things improving. And then the final reason, the final two reasons are, one, clinically, we're hardwired for the scientific method. And that's exactly similar when you're doing improvement operational work to the plan, do, study, act. And once you make that connection for them, they start to see and understand that process improvement. And then finally, I can't think of anybody better who's suited to see the Gemba, to see the work process and how well it's working day in and day out than physicians. One only has to envision a physician standing at a nurse's station in a hospital or a clinic trying to find things or watching people do their work to know how easily and quickly they see where the gaps are. So they're going to be invested in keeping this going, and by bringing them into more leadership roles with this, I think that will help improve the sustainment rates.
Yes. Yeah, it's interesting because even though that's so critical, and even though, you know, we're essentially in a state of crisis in the country in terms of our financial situation, and healthcare is really at the center of that crisis, outside of a few, you know, important voices like Brent James, who we talked about earlier, maybe Atul Gawande, Don Berwick, it really seems like physicians have been relatively unengaged, at least from my perspective. And I'm wondering if you, A, agree with that perception, and B, if you do, you know, what do you see as the reasons that the physicians aren't more engaged in the efforts to implement methods like Lean?
Tony, I couldn't agree more. And in my belief, is that it's a combination of the factors that act as barriers to engagement. One is most physicians are on some sort of production-based revenue system. And they're under pressure to increasingly see more patients in shorter periods of time. And their first priority is to be productive enough to take care of themselves and their families financially. The second that I've seen is how energy draining it is to go through a day of providing care for patients in all settings, as long as all of this waste is there. And I've literally seen physicians, once you get that waste out of their local environment, physically look healthier, act healthier, they're more rested, they have more time. And then the third is that with all of that going on, they still got to be a family member,
right,
and many times a parent. And so those three things, I think, you take priority over engaging the physicians. And frankly, while there's been a lot of call for physician involvement, Quint Studer, who founded the Studer Group, is saying that as we're trying to get physicians more engaged with systems, because as you pointed out, it is crisis stage. As a saying that, well, how are we going to get all these physicians and hospitals married when they didn't want to date in the first place?
Right.
Yeah. So systems have not worked as hard on that, some have, to their credit. And frankly, I see more successful efforts in organizations that have strong physician leadership in a senior leadership team, or even have physician CEOs, and that health perspective gets involved in the decision making.
Yeah. No, I think that's interesting. I think that's right on the mark. Now, you know, in looking at the book, I was struck with some of the examples you gave. You talked about the gravitational pull, which helps to subvert some of these efforts to make change. But I was really struck with some of the examples of overt and covert quality improvement sabotage, I guess I'll call it, which you described in your book. And I think for those of us involved with quality improvement, many of those examples will resonate. I'm interested in your perspective about how to handle either overt or covert sabotage of a quality improvement effort, considering it almost disruptive behavior.
The approach that we took was, first of all, to be extremely transparent about it with everybody. And by starting off saying the changes that you're going to have to make for some of you will not be embraced. Our expectation is, and this is part of our expectations meeting, is that when that happens, we have healthy ways of dealing with the issues, the conversation, dialogue, and the improvement team. It is not acceptable to do things that are destructive, either overtly or covertly. And so we really try and help them move that healthier dialogue kind of way of dealing with their frustration. And then when something inevitably does happen, because in spite of that it will, we talk about it with the team and people working in the area very openly about what their feeling is about this happening, how they feel about it, and start generating some peer pressure. Because by the time you get to the point where these acts of sabotage are happening, you've moved into a lot of change. And people have either decided they like it or they've decided they don't like it. And fortunately, the majority like it. And so that peer pressure starts to build to drive those things down. And if that doesn't work, then you have to just very immediately set expectations and have those crucial conversations, if you know who it is, about the expectations and their behavior going forward, and using that sort of motivational interviewing technique to bring them along to improve the way they communicate about their concerns.
Any final thoughts for our listeners regarding physician engagement in quality improvement efforts?
Well, I think that there's still a lot of conversations around physicians being involved in, are you going to pay me for my time or not? Mm-hmm. Two things about that. One is, I think we have to more and more. I think it's a sound investment. Once they do get started, some of those conversations start to go away because of the benefit they're getting. And all of a sudden, they have a little more time to help with these efforts. But I think, in large part, we are going to have to step up and compensate physicians for the improvement work time. And I think that's as good an investment in an outcome for an organization as trying to get them to see one more or two more patients a day.
I think that's where we're going to have to end for today. Thanks again, Dr. Nelson, for joining us today. Again, the book is called Sustaining Lean in Healthcare, Developing and Engaging Physician Leadership. Is it out at this point? Is it?
Yes, it was published in June.
Great. It's a good read, and again, I appreciate your joining us today on Healthcare Update.
Thanks, Tony.